Okay, let's get into the next perek in Sefer Malachim Aleph, perek Yud Zayin. Again, a jam-packed perek, a lot of halachic discussions related to this perek. We'll try to touch on a number of them, but again, there's a lot more here. We're just trying to get what we can in our review and overview of Nevi'im. So here we go. Eliyahu HaNavi, we are introduced to in this perek over the next couple of prakim. He will come onto the scene, and he stays on the scene. Ad Hayom Hazeh, as we know, Eliyahu HaNavi, lo meis. We'll see in a couple of prakim. So Eliyahu HaNavi comes to Achav. As we know, Achav has taken over to be the Melech Yisrael. He has brought Avodah Zarah to the land. He has built Asherahs. He has taken a terrible wife, Izebel. He even has misled Chiel, and Chiel also took part in rebuilding Yericho, and he lost all of his children, as we saw in the end of the last parak. So Eliyahu comes to Achav and says, we'll have to see the background of this, but he says to him, there is going to be a terrible drought because as a punishment for what you have done. And right when that happens, a terrible drought starts. Hashem tells Eliyahu HaNavi, go and hide in a certain cave by Nachal Kris, and you'll drink from the river, and the Arvin, the ravens, will bring you food there. And he does exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. The ravens bring him lechem ubasar every morning, every evening, until the river dries up. So after a year, the river dries up. Hashem says to him, okay, now you have to come out and you have to go to Tsarfata Asher Litzidon. Place Tsarfas, which is near Tzidon, and go there, and a certain almana, a widow, will take care of you. So he goes, and he sees the first widow, and he asks for some water. She says, I have nothing. I'll give you whatever I have, but I have very little food. I have very little water. Eliyahu says, don't worry. Give to me, and you'll never be lacking. And the nace occurred that every time she gave Eliyahu HaNavi, it stayed full. She never ran out, even though there was a terrible famine and a drought. Then she says, Kamar Hashem, Eliyahu HaNavi promises her, as we just said, and they have this relationship. And later on, the parak continues that the son of this woman gets very, very sick, deathly ill. And she says to Eliyahu, I don't understand, you came here and it's supposed to be better for me, but now, look, my son's dying. She obviously connected Eliyahu's coming to the death of the son. Eliyahu says, give me your son, who is basically dead. We'll have to talk about that. He takes him up to the attic, and he's performing some type of resuscitation, Tchias HaMesim, and Ve'yismodid al-Yelad Shalosh Pamim. My father, in his Svarim on the medicine in the Bible and the Talmud, talks about this resuscitation, this one, and what Elisha did in a couple of prakim as we'll see. But either way, Eliyahu does see some amazing and brings him back alive, comes downstairs, gives the yellow to the woman, and says, here, take your child back. She says, wow, now I see that you are an Ish Elohim. That's the first parak that we have, exciting parak relating to Eliyahu HaNavi. So let's go back to the beginning. Vayomer Eliyahu HaNavi. Who was Eliyahu? Vayomer Eliyahu HaTishbi. Who was Eliyahu HaNavi? Who was Eliyahu HaTishbi? The Rambam says he was a student of Achia HaShiloni, who was a Navi in the previous prakim, in the previous generation. There is a three-way machlokas in the Medrash, which Shevet was Eliyahu HaNavi from. Some say, the most popular one, Pirkei de Belazar, says that Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kohen, and his neshama, he was a Gilgal, whatever, maybe he was just lived a long time, of Pinchas. Pinchas was Eliyahu, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, it doesn't literally mean, you don't have to say that it was the same exact person, it means Chazal are connecting their personalities. Their personalities were connected, they were both Kanoi. They're both Kanoi. Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kanoi for the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as was Pinchas. As we know, Chazal Kashru at Beit Shnei Anashim Elu Mitzat Tchunasam HaMishutefes. They're both, and the Midrashim talk about this in Pirkei de Belazar. Malach HaPeliyahu Vayomer Kano Kanisi. And he killed Zimri, and he killed Nevi'ei HaBaal, and the Yalkut Shemoni says, in the future, I know you did this only L'shem Shemayim, you brought Shalom between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you will also ultimately bring Shalom to the world. So this is all number one. Rabbi Yaakov, in the footnote there, the Emes Yaakov points out, it's interesting, why do we say Pinchas Zeh Eliyahu? That's the phrase of Chazal. It should be Eliyahu Zu Pinchas, right? We should say the later one is like the earlier one. So he suggests, which he writes this elsewhere, that maybe it wasn't only that it was the same connected personality, but Rabbi Yaakov says that many of the Egyptian names had a Pei, and a Samach, and a Resh, Ephraim, Paro, right? All of those, many of the names, Shifra, Pua, Peis, and Reshes were very popular. So he suggests that Pinchas, maybe, and Elio are translations of each other. Pinchas hu shem Mitzri, k'moshe batzanu ir Mitzris b'shem tach panches, a pasuk in Yirmiyo. V'targumo l'lashon hakodesh hu Elio. Maybe he said that's a suggestion. But either way, that is all number one. Assuming that is true, that Elio Navi is a Kohen, that's the basis for the Gemara in Bamitzia. The Gemara in Bamitzia, Daf Yud Kuf Yud Dalet Amad Aleph, going on to Amad Beis. The Gemara says that Rabba Bar Avuha found Elio Navi once in a cemetery, in a non-Jewish cemetery. And he asked him a halacha question. And the Gemara later on says, what are you doing here? You're a Kohen. How could you be in a cemetery? Lav Kohenu. And he answers, what are you doing? He says, maybe I hold that Tumas Akam is only Mitami Bemaga and Napa Ohel. So that gets into the halakha discussion. That's the Gemara. Ask Tosfos there, Kuf Yadal and Mabez and Bamitzia, forget the fact that he was in a cemetery. How is he Mitami himself to go bring this child at the end of our parak back alive? Heich Techya Binashal Ha'amana. Kivan Shekohen Aya. Right? The stories in Tanakh come up all the time. All the time in the Rishonim on Shas. So how did he do it? The Yishlomar Tosfos answers an amazing answer, which all the Achronim discuss. Shahaya Barur Lo Sheyichayehu. He knew for sure that he was going to bring him back alive. V'lakachaya Mutter Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. Because he knew Vadai that he was going to bring him back alive, that's why it was Mutter Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. The Shaila then is, all the Achronim ask, what do you mean he Vadai knew? Even Safik Pikuach Nefesh is doche anything. So here, what do you mean Vada? Even Safik? That's the question. So the Netziv and others answer. The Netziv says Safik Pikuach Nefesh is based on V'chai Bohem. So if somebody is alive, Safik will be doche. But if somebody's already dead, you need Vadai in order to be doche because it's not based on V'chai Bohem. It could be Chalel Shabbos Achas, Chalel Wa Mitzvah, but there you have to be sure. The Radvaz has a long tshuva in Chelik Vav, Shnei Alafim Reish Nun, where he has all the different suggestions. Maybe he didn't actually die, right, which we'll see who suggests that. Maybe she was not Jewish, which is still a problem because he touched her, he touched him. Tosfos says there, right, Baru Sheikhayeo, as we said. And Vodyesh Lafari says the Radvaz, the Horasha Haisa, Kadishi is Kadi, Sheim Shamayim Al Yado. You're right, it was wrong and he was a Kohen. But it had to be Makadi Shem Shemayim. Ke'inyan lahakriv kachim bachutz. Hasamach lezeh amaisa. Just like he's going to do with the Nevi'ah Habal in the next parak. There would have been a tremendous chil Hashem if this child would have died after Eliyahu HaNavi stays with this woman. So therefore, for many reasons, he was allowed to do it. That's one option of Eliyahu HaNavi. He is a Kohen. Other suggestions, the Midrashim say, some say he was from Binyamin, some say he was from Gad. All based on Psukim. The Radak says, we don't know. He quotes all these days, and he says, ultimately, we don't know which one he's from. V'adnachnu lo yodanu ha'emes. We don't know the emes, so we will have to, Be'er Hashem, wait and see what happens. Right, there is a Eliyahu HaNavi we'll have to talk about, how he still comes down to Olam HaZeh, Tshuva L'Chasam Sofer, which Be'er Hashem will have to get to. But let's get back to the beginning of the parak now. V'yom Eliyahu HaTishbi, Mitashavei, Gilad, he comes El Achav. He comes to Achav. What do you mean he comes to Achav? So there's two different sources that talk about this meaning. How did this meaning take place? One is the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Eliyahu, you have to go be Menachim of El Chiel. Chiel had just died in the end of the previous parak. Leich laharera oslafanav. Ulanachamo. Go. Why? What's the message? The Chafetz Chaim talks about this in Avas Chesed. In the third parak, that even if somebody is a Baal Aveira, doesn't mean we're not allowed to do Chesed. We don't have to do Chesed with them. Doesn't matter. Adayin b'chal Yisrael u'mitzvah l'rachim alav v'ligmo limo Chesed beis dachako. If somebody's in dire straits, even if he's a Baal Aveira, still, he is treated as a Jew, and we have to do chesed with him. And that's the emphasis of this Yerushalmi. If you look at the Rinas Yitzchak, Rinas Yitzchak discusses it also. He says, and even if you say you don't have to, but he should, and therefore, that's one version of the reason why Eliyahu HaNavi, where he was at this time. But Rashi here quotes the Yerushalmi also in Sanhedrin there. Rashi quotes the other opinion, and that is, Eliyahu and Achav both went to be Menachim of El Chiel, and on the way out, or on the way in, they met each other, and the following conversation took place. Holch Eliyahu v'Achav, l'nachem es Chiel be'evlo. Omer Achav l'Eliyahu, Achav says Eliyahu, Efshar, Elio, right, what happened here? Elio says to Achav, you see what happened? He rebuilt Yericho, the curse of Yoshua. Says Achav, no, it was all coincidence, as we spoke about in the last year. No, it wasn't. After all, if Moshe Rabbeinu said a curse, what's the curse? If you do Avodah Zarah, there's not going to be any rain. And Achav says, look around, there's plenty of rain. So look, if Moshe Rabbeinu's curse doesn't come true, surely Yoshua, that's only a student, of course, that's not going to come true. So Achav is in denial, and he says, I'm all good, I'm all fine. And Eliyahu Navi sees the Chil Hashem that is taking place, that they're being obeyed about a Zara, and yet there's plenty of rain. Why is there plenty of rain? Why is Hashem being Merachim? So we discussed, maybe we'll touch on it another time as well, the Meshech Chachma in Bishalach, which talks about they had Achdus amongst themselves, even though they were obeyed about a Zara, but still Hashem had Rachmanis and gave them rain. But Eliyahu Navi said, it can't continue, and there has to be a drought. And he was, goes there a drought, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be a drought to prove to Achav and to prove to all of the Israel at that time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. The Malbim here notes, there's no stira between the fact that there was rain and the fact that Chiel was killed. Well, there's a big difference between the two. Hashem, when it was over to Avodah Zarah, the Bnei Yisrael were over to Avodah Zarah, Hashem just turned away. And he let nature run its course. So sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't rain. That's by the tzibur. But when it comes to Chiel, that was a specific hashkacha pratis. He violated a specific thing. So that's why he was punished. It's a very different thing between the two. The Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that there's a minog of some sofrim. It's in Yoredeya, Simin Reish Nun Ches, minog of some sofrim that all cheses, they write a wide roof, a wide top of the ches, except for v'chara af. The ches in that paragraph, they write like with a hump, like a, they chatotros, like the back of a camel. Why? Because it's pointing up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chara, you have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of this, and it's like, as Achav didn't trust that it wasn't going to happen, they weren't going to be punished, but ultimately the truth came. So Eliyahu has this conversation with Achav, and he says to Achav, there is now going to be a drought, and it's not going to start raining again until I say, which we'll see is going to be the pouring rain by the Nevi'eh HaBaal. But you also see from here the power of Leit Sonus, the power of the attitude of Achav. Achav could see all the sons dying, could see everything occurring right in front of his face, and he's able to reject it, like the power of Paro, as we saw by the Makos, the power of the Mitzriim following at the Kriyas Yamsov, the power of Yerovam Menavat after his hand got dried up, and here the power of Achav. He sees what happens to Chiel's kids, and it does not make any impression. So Hashem says to Eliyahu, Lech mizeh pasuk gimel. Ufanisa lecha kedma, go eastward, v'nistarta b'nachal kris, asher p'nei yarden, go. V'ya me'anachal tishte, drink from the river, v'es ha'arvim tzivisi lechalkel chasham. And I'm commanding the ravens to bring you food there. Why dafka? The ravens, the Mitzudas David says here, that the ravens are known as very harsh and mean beings. And Mitzudas David is saying to Eliyahu Navi, even these harsh, brazen, achzari, being cruel beings, it's the word, these cruel beings are having rachmanis on you, you have to have rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. You have to have rachmanis. There's a drought, but ultimately you have to daven that they should get rain back. Ve'echlo yachmal hu al Yisrael. Right? You have to be a kanoi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he was doing in L'shem Shemayim. There was a terrible chil Hashem in the world. And that's why Eliyahu Navi brought the drought. But at a certain point, he has to daven. The power, it's always the power of the rain is in the Eliyahu Navi's hands, as Beis Hashem will talk about soon. But that is the what is discussed here. There's a lot in the Midrashim. The Be'er Moshe discusses this about what are these ravens and who are these ravens. The Midrashim talk about it by Noach. Why did Noach Dafka send out a raven? Because the Medrash says, Rashi quotes it, because what's the purpose of a raven? What do we need a raven for in the world? So the Medrash says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you think there's no purpose for a raven? This raven is going to save Klal Yisrael in the future. Amar lo, mikol behema v'chai v'ov she'ishkan, enata b'shalech alali. Amar lo matzarech lo olam b'cha. Noach says to the raven, what purpose do you fulfill? Lo la'achil of a little carbon. We can't eat you, we can't bring you as a carbon. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kablu. Take the raven into the teva. Sha'asid ha'olam le'etztarech lo. Amar lo emasai. Amar lo ad yevoshes hamayim me'al ha'aretz. Yevoshes are the letters Tishbi. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to need him And therefore, it was a tznai in Maisa Bracious that Eliyahu Navi, the raven has to be there because ultimately Eliyahu Navi is going to need. So there's a connection between these ravens and Maisa Bracious and Noach. A lot discussed there. Noach recognizing the purpose of the ravens, right? Like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Ein lecha davar. There's nothing in the world that doesn't have a purpose. David HaMelech learned that about the spiders. Noach learned that about the ravens. So the pasuk says that the Arvin brought him food, lechem ubasar baboker, lechem ubasar baerev, every day, every night. The ravens brought him meat and bread. The Gemara in Chulin discusses, right, the Radak quotes it on Pasuk Dalet, where did they get this food from? Some say they brought it from Achav's kitchen, from Achav's dining room. Some say it was from Yehoshaphat's dining room. Some say it was just from Socharim merchants. And the Gemara discusses, did he know it was kosher food and not kosher food? Was it Bikuach Nefesh? So he had to eat it. Either way, this is a big discussion where the food came from. But either way, at the end of a year, Vayivash HaNachal, the river dries up. No more rain, and Elio Hanavi has to move. Vayidavar Hashem Elav Lemar, Hashem says to him, Kum lech, sarfata, asher litzi, don't go to a different place. V'yashavta sham, v'yidei tzivisi sham isha almana, I've told that almana, who the Gemara says, the Radim Medrash says, that it was the mother of Yonah, ben Amitai, that was this almana lachal kalecha, right, this boy, Pashtus, according to that Medrash, that was brought back to life was Yonah. So I've commanded, I've arranged an Amana is going to be Michalkel you. It's interesting, the Ber Moshe talks about, Hashem promises that this woman will take care of you. Really, Elio took care of the woman. The woman had no more food. And yet, the Pasuk calls it that she took care of Elio Anavi. Why is that? So explains the Ber Moshe and other Bali Musar. Well, let's read the Pesukim. What happens here? She comes and he comes to the door and he sees an Isha Almana, Mekosheshes Eitzim, and he says, can I please have some water? And the Rashi says he was playing the Eliezer Evan Avraham trick. He had no idea which Almana it was going to be. So let me ask for some water. And whichever woman gives me and does that chesed for me, I will know that's the right one. Vatelach Lakachas. So she goes and she brings the water. Give me also a little bread. She says, I have nothing. Some say he was asking for challah because he was a Kohen. She said, I have a tiny little bit. And if I eat it, my son eats it, we're going to die. He says, don't worry about it. But look what happened. The Eliyahu Navi says, first give me, and then you'll have your bracha. Aseli misham ugak tana barishona. And then, first give me, and she does. Says the Bar Moshe, it was that Mesiris Nefesh. In a time of famine, she still gave away the bread. She did the Maisa Chesed. That was why she was Zocheb to be able to have this nes done for her. And also why she is considered supporting Eliyahu. Because it was all about her. Right, the Gemara says, the Medrash says in Vayikra Rabba, Yosir Mimasha Ha'ani Makaba Mina Ashir, Ha'ashir Makaba Mina Ani. When you give, you get. She was giving and she got a ton, but she ultimately gave. That was the first step, and that's why she is considered as getting the schar in this whole story. But he says, don't give me everything, leave a little bit. The Abarbanel says, because every time you have a bracha, the bracha has to be chal on something, like by the oil of the Neres Chanukah, the Taz talks about it, but you needed something for it to be chal on. So Kiko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and Eliyahu Navi says, because this is, I'm telling you what's going to be. Karakemach lo sichla, v'sapachas Hashem lo sechzer. It's never going to get lessened. Ad yom teith Hashem geshem al pnei adama, until it starts raining again, you're never going to run out. Don't worry about it. She does exactly what Eliyahu Navi says, and that is what happened. She never ran out. The Rinas Yitzchak points out here, we know the Gemara, a well-known Gemara in Bamitzia, a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura. If there's a canteen, one canteen for two people in the desert, so what do you do? So do you split it and they both die, or do you give it the person who owns it, keeps it, and that's it? So that's a machlokes. Rabbi Akiva says you keep it. And Ben Petura says, no, you have to split it up. So according to Ben Petura, you see what's going on here, because she splits what they have. Rabbi Akiva says, Chayecha Komin. So why did she have the right to give it over? Unless she knew that it was a nevuah. So explains the Rinas Yitzchak, maybe here is different. Because here, even if she drinks all of it, she's still going to die. The case in the Gemara was that if she drinks it, one person drinks it, they can live and the other person will die. So then one person drinks it. Chayecha Komin, says Rabbi Akiva. But here, she was going to die anyway. And therefore, she might as well split it in that case. So she does it, and they live. Vayehi achar drama ela. After these things, pasuk yud zayin, chala ben isha balas habayis. The boy gets sick. All of a sudden, vayehi chalyo chazak ma'od. It was a very strong sickness. The Malbim says it wasn't like he got sick and then sicker and sicker and sicker. All of a sudden, he was terribly sick. So she knew something was going on here. So she, says the Malbim, thought that maybe Eliyahu HaNavi, right, wasn't really a Nisa Elokim after all. Maybe it was all magic, and maybe she's being punished now for using some dark side magic. Right? He says, what's going on here? Vatomer Eliyahu, Mali Valach, Aisha Elokim, what's happening? Batei Lai Laskira Tavoni, Ula Mrs. Bini, you're causing me to sin. The Malbim says, what's the sin? That she thinks maybe he was using some magic. Rashi says, no. Rashi says it's like the story of Lot. Lot didn't want to go be next to Abraham because everybody's judged relative to everyone else. That's what he thought. So to hear, she says, until you came, I was okay. But now I'm next to you. I'm a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik. So I'm nothing. I'm nothing compared to you. Or the Radak says, maybe I'm not serving you, Kamoshet Sarich. Either way, what are you doing here? You're causing problems. Vayomer Eliyahu says, no worry. Tni li es benech, give me the child. Vayikacheo mecheka, he takes the child, goes up to the Aliyah, Shehu Yoshev Shem, Yeshkiveo Amitaso, and he lies the child down on his bed. The Malbim says, why Davka on his bed? Because he was saying that this is so painful to me as if I'm dying, says Eliyahu HaNavi. Vayikra Hashem vayomer, and he calls to Eliyah, and he calls to Hashem. Vayomer, and he says, the Mefarshim point out that by Elisha, where he does a similar story, it says vayispalel. More Davin. Here, Eliyah calls out quickly. Because here there was a Chil Hashem involved. Hashem Elokai, Hagama Amana, Asher Ani Mitkoreri Ma, Hareyota Lamisas Bina. Look what you're doing. Right, it sounds like Moshe, right? Lama Hareyosa Lamazeh. We're going to talk about Hashem in the future Prakim about the parallels between Eliyahu and Moshe. But this pasuk sounds like a Moshe thought. Vayismodeda al Yeled Shalosh Pamim. So he lies on the Yeled three times. He measures the Yeled. Vayikra al Hashem vayomar. Hashem Elokai, Toshem na Nefesh al Yeled Azeh. El Kirbo, give him back his soul. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu, Hashem listens. But he lies down. What does that mean? The Radak says two ideas. Either it was he lies on him in order to focus his tefillah to be about him, or the Radak says it was some type of chom tivi, some type of trying to return the warmth. Lahanshim alav, to blow on him, to breathe on him. Ulachamamo b'chom tivi yotzei mipanav mipsaro, in order to get back the life that was taken away from him. And Hashem listens, and he is brought back to life. Eliyahu does tchiyas ameisim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a crucial conversation that takes place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Eliyahu HaNavi. We know, the Gemara says, we know this from the beginning of Yuma also, the beginning of Tainus, that there were three keys that Hashem keeps for himself. Three keys. The key for rain, and the key for tchiyas ameisim, the key for childbirth, maybe parnasa too. So the last Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Yud Gimel, last daf in Sanhedrin, it says there, that's the Gemara about the Arvim and the ravens, and Eliyahu HaNavi, by declaring it a drought, Hashem basically gave him the key to the water. And we see that from the Psukim, that it was up to him. It was up to him to get the weather to make it rain or not make it rain. So Hashem gave him the key. The problem is, though, now Hashem now wants it back, so to speak. Hashem wants it back. Hashem wants Eliyahu HaNavi to make it rain. So what did Hashem do? He made this child be deathly ill, so Eliyahu HaNavi would ask for this child to be brought back alive, and then now you need the tchiyas ameisim. So Eliyahu, Hashem says, you're asking for the key tchiyas ameisim, then you're going to have two keys, I'm only going to have one key? That can't be. Barach mi lebitan la klita tchiyas ameisim, amrile, sholosh mavtechos lo nimsu l'shliach, sholchaya v'sholkshem v'shol tchiyas ameisim, yom rushtayim b'ya talmud v'achas b'ya rav, Icy of a shagil. So Hashem basically flipped it, and that's why in the next parak we're going to have rain brought back. That's the conversation that takes place. Tosas beginning of Tainus, we know this from Daf Beis, that the keys were never given to anyone permanently. That's what it means. But Rosh Baruch Hu was involved in all of these events very closely. Right? These are events within nature, but it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parnasa and rain and childbirth. We're not used to Tchiyas HaMeisim, but that's what's here. That's what happened. So Eliyahu, and we spoke earlier about how he's able to do this if he was a Kohen. So Eliyahu says to the woman, take your child, the woman says to Eliyahu, Ata ze yadati, I now know, ki ish Elokim ata, you are a man of God, udvar Hashem beficha emes, and everything is true. The Radak quotes a day that it wasn't totally dead, he was almost dead. That's what another answer to the Tosfos is, Kashi, we mentioned before. The Ralbag discusses here in one of his To'alios, as he adds on every story in Navi, you also learn from here discussion about whether this was a pre-programmed nace, whether this was a nace that occurred right now. Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban that we've had before, the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, the Rambam and the Pirshei Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, how every nace was pre-programmed. This sounds like, says the Ralbag, that this was a new nace that happened right now, and Eliyahu HaNavi was given the power of Tchias HaMeisim. First time in history such a thing ever happens. So this sets the stage for the next major event, next Perek, Perek Yud Ches, and that's Eliyahu and Nevi'ei Habaal on Har HaKarmel. So we'll stop here.